Morning, everyone. So great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. It's such an honor to be able to honor our mothers today, but ultimately to glorify God. Amen. Lift your voices. This morning.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you trusting in His grace is how. Are you washed in the blood?
Yeah.
this morning.
We have an ongoing argument in our church. Thankfully, this argument is in the realm of professional basketball. It resurfaces regularly. One camp will form and they will support Michael Jordan. They will talk about how great of a basketball player he was, the greatest of all time, and how he can do this and do that, shoot, dribble, defend, all these things.
That's right.
Whoa. Wasn't expecting that. Then we have another camp, obviously a different one than his, that is for LeBron James and how he can do X and Y and Z. And as you listen to these arguments, which I have listened to many of them, what you'll pick up on is the honor that they're bestowing upon them is based primarily on their talent and their physical attributes. And this is common throughout all arenas of life. It doesn't just stop in basketball. It's in all sorts of things. If we're not careful as Christians, we will lean towards looking for those same types of things in our fellow Christians to honor and regard them. It'll be these physical attributes, these talents, these things that we can see and observe. In our text today, Paul points to a sick, suffering servant and says, hold him in high regard. In other words, honor him. A life worth honoring from a Christian perspective is a life that keeps serving Christ even when it is costly. And in this passage, Paul is going to reveal the kind of Christian life that is truly worth honoring. So, what do we need to know? What can we take from this revelation from Paul? We can know in our hearts who we need to be honoring and holding in high regard as Christians, and also what we need to be doing as we aspire to be the type of Christian that can be held in high regard. Our first truth today in a sermon titled Who God Says Is Worth Honoring is worth honoring Christians embrace the mission. The mission. Look there in verse 25. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Some people have an erred belief. They can only serve Jesus, they can only serve the church if they have a certain title or maybe a title. I was caught in this trap for years. I thought, well, I am a Christian, but I need to be named in some way. I need to be pastor or minister so-and-so or deacon this if I'm going to do anything. That's what I truly thought. And some of you may be thinking that today. Right here, I want to dispel that thought through the Word of God. Paul piles up descriptions of Epaphroditus. He does. But look at him. Look at the description. He is a brother. He is a fellow believer. He is a fellow worker. He's somebody who is serving alongside Paul for the kingdom of God, for God's glory, for God's mission. He is a fellow soldier. That's military terminology. Somebody who is locking arms, who is in the bunker, who's in the heat, doing God's service along with him. He's a messenger. He's taking something that needs to be known from one area to the other. And lastly, he's a minister. One thing I want you to take from this is Epaphroditus was not one role. He was not all in on trying to be this one title. He was all in for the overall work of Jesus Christ. And that's something everybody in here can be. Throw the titles away. We need to be all in for what God has equipped you to do for the mission of Jesus Christ. You do not need a title. We need a deeper love for Jesus and the calling that he's put on our life. A side note here, but I think it's important in our society of division today, Epaphroditus very likely was not a Jew. But as we know, Paul was a very zealot. He was very Jewish. And if you know anything about history there, Jews typically didn't get along very well with Gentiles, which is what Epaphroditus would have been. But look at these accolades. They had put aside any cultural, any worldly division, any bounds that the world had put upon him, and they had united for the mission of Jesus Christ, and they were serving strongly together. The gospel had created a bond deeper than culture, background, or ethnicity could separate. We would do well to do that today as we seek to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ. Why was Epaphroditus sent? He was sent by the Philippian church. If you haven't been with us through this series, the Philippian church is a body of believers in Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, who were in Philippi, a small community. This church supported Paul, and they had deemed Epaphroditus worthy and trustworthy to carry this gift, to carry this message to the Apostle Paul, who is in prison. So that is, Epaphroditus is their messenger that they trusted with this message. I'm going to share something that impacted my life in a significant way that is the opposite of what we're striving for today. Years ago, I had a conversation and heard this story. It was told to me firsthand. I'm not going to name the person or the place, but it was a local congregation. This happened at a local church. They had a man in the church who was so faithful. He was going to be there every Sunday morning. He was going to be there every Wednesday night. He was going to be there when there was a service to be done. He's the model, right? Somebody to look up to. Somebody to aspire to follow. Well, the gentleman who was telling me the story just so happened to see this man outside of church in a public setting. And that man was engaged in another conversation, and he was close by and just kind of tuned in to what was being said. The non-church man asked the church man, "Man, why in the world are you always over there at church? You're there every Sunday, every Wednesday. You're always doing things over at the church." And the church man kind of took a quick scope of what was around him, not noticing the person who was telling the story. And this was his report. "I can't afford to not be over there attending and serving. If I lost all the business from those people that went to that church, I would be out of business. So I got to keep going." His sole motivation, based upon that conversation, was for personal gain. That's not what we're called to serve for. If we are serving out of personal gain, our heart is not in the right place. That is not, well, I mean, it broke my heart to hear that, because as we've talked about many times, that's the definition of a hypocrite. You put your mask on and you're one thing outwardly, but then you take your mask off and you're another thing inwardly. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't afford to do that. I can assure you God will not reward that. in any way. Would people describe me as someone who faithfully serves or someone who only helps when it benefits Philip? I pray that it's not the latter. The mission of God moves forward through faithful, genuine Christ followers bent on glorifying God the Father. Next opportunity, I want to encourage you to do this. Serve where there's a need. And don't let there be anything else to follow that. Don't serve when there's a need that other people will see me. Serve when there's a need that will benefit me. Serve when there's a need, X, Y, Z. You find a need is brought to you. Serve faithfully for the glory of God in that opportunity. And then also, here's something that I could do. And I want to go ahead and do it right now in front of everybody. Here's something each and every one of you can do. Thank someone this week who you know is faithfully serving for the benefit of Christ and the mission that we're called to do. I thank you. I appreciate you. Not lifting them up, not making them crazy. Just thank you. I appreciate what you do for the church. I appreciate what you do for the kingdom. We have people here in this congregation that don't want to be recognized, and I'm not going to call them by name. But we have many people in this church, and I don't thank you enough for what you do. A lot of things you do I don't even see. And so right now, I want to thank you for what you do for the kingdom of God out of a love for Jesus Christ. The second thing that we see is that worth honoring Christians persevere through pain. Look at verses 26 and 27. Because he, Epaphroditus, was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed, he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. We're tempted to let pain stop our service. Amen? Epaphroditus almost died while he was still striving to serve God and serve the body of believers that had given him a mission to accomplish. That's very different than letting a little pain stop us, a little discomfort stop us. Discomfort, inconvenience, or sickness must not become acceptable reasons to pull back from what God has called us to do. Well, I'm sick. Well, I don't feel good. Man, I've used that. I use that. And sadly, we are comfortable with letting that be the measuring stick. Well, I was sick the other day. Now, here's one thing I want to say. Let me be careful here. Y'all know me. I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. I'm not telling you if you've got the stomach virus that you need to come and, you know, and fight through it and infect the rest of the church with the stomach virus. That's not what I'm telling you to do. Please don't do that. Please, please don't do that. However, if my foot's hurting today, I guess I probably need to tell them I can't be there to do that. I don't know. Maybe we'll push through that. I'm not real sure that a little foot pain is going to be what should separate us from doing God's will and not doing God's will. Again, there's a balance with everything that we do. Paul says Epaphroditus became sick so that he nearly died, yet he continued laboring to fulfill the ministry entrusted to him. Paul even says he was risking his life for the work of Christ. And here's the crazy part. If you look a little deeper, the fact that Epaphroditus almost died is not what distressed him. It's not what upset him. It's not what was on his mind. He was distressed because he thought that he would fail the church. He was sick about it. But they've given me a mission. They've given me a gift to go and carry to Paul. They want me to minister to him because they can't go. What if I die and I fail the mission? That is a That's a heart for service. That's a heart of service that we should all aspire to. I can't even imagine that. What if I fail them? But they're dependent on me to do this. Now I'd be worried about, man, I'm about to die. They need to send somebody else. Not his heart. Even while suffering, his concern was for others. His concern for what Christ had called him to do. Paul says plainly, God had mercy on him. His recovery was not luck. Paul tells us. His recovery was a product of God's grace and God's mercy. And that mercy was not only felt by Epaphroditus, it was felt by Paul. Because Paul would have been severely distressed because if he had lost his life. So he kept his life and it didn't distress Paul and cause deeper sorrow. Here's what we must not model in behavior when it comes to excuses. Jesus tells a parable of the dinner in Luke 14. And these are the ones who he talked about that we should not aspire to when we have a calling. Read along with me in Luke 14, 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I bought a piece of land and I need to go and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, man, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, well, I have married a wife, and I cannot come. Well, these are all probably truths. These all actually happened. But were they valid excuses? Sometimes we step back from serving over many excuses. But if we're going to get to a place where we're held in high regard, that honors God, and we can be considered honorable, we've got to fight the temptation to excuse ourselves from serving. What does it take for you to stop serving others? Think about that for just a second. What would it take if you were called to serve somebody else to further the mission of Christ today? How hard would it be for you to go to be excused? Would it be that you had to cancel lunch? Would it be that you had to go the extra mile? I don't know, man. Gas prices, you know, they high. I don't know if I need to go. That's an excuse. And if that threshold is really low, we need to be in prayer and ask God to bring that threshold of excuses up. Pain and inconvenience can reveal whether our commitment is built on comfort or whether it's built on Christ. We've got to stop treating comfort like a spiritual requirement. Did y'all hear me? Y'all awake? Let me say it one more time. As Christians, we've got to stop treating comfort as the requirement for our service. Amen. When I first started preaching here 4 years ago, I remember vividly every Sunday morning, I would sit right there where I still sit, and I literally would shiver physically. I worried about y'all seeing me, thinking, like, what's wrong with Philip? I mean, I would sit up there and just be shaking the whole time. My breathing would be shallow. Why? I was uncomfortable. I had never preached before. I had never prepared sermons before. I was nervous. Today, I'm not shaking and shivering. Not because I take the role less, but because week in and week out, y'all kept being patient with me. We kept grinding. I kept getting in the pulpit. And God brings you further and gets you to the place where you can kind of start getting excited in that comfort. and really enjoying it more. But we don't get to that place because it's not comfortable in the beginning. Because we think comfort is the requirement. Comfort is the sign that we should be doing what we're supposed to be doing. That is not the sign. Comfort is the sign. Comfort comes through obedience, faithful obedience. And many of us today have opportunities to be faithfully obedient in some areas, and then slowly God will bring you to the place where you're comfortable and you can enjoy it more. But you got to start. You've got to start. Ask God to strengthen your perseverance in difficult seasons. Ask God to give you the strength to get started. Our last truth is worth honoring Christians care more about others than themselves. A theme that runs throughout the Bible. Verse 28, therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard. Honor him. Because, why? Let's keep it on the tracks here. Why? Because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. A deep form of Christian love is caring more about others than yourself, even while suffering. I naturally, like many of you guys, this is the default state, did not have to work for this. I naturally become consumed with Philip's problems, with Philip's ambitions, and with Philip's needs. And likely, if you're honest, you can replace my name with your name, and that will apply to you as well. I'm not coming down on you. I'm just letting you know that there's a paddle and a life jacket behind me, and you can sit down and we'll row together. A life worth honoring places the needs of others over all those things and our convenience. Epaphroditus longed for the Philippian church and was distressed because they were worried about him. Paul also demonstrates this same love. Notice the Philippian church sent Epaphroditus to take the message, to take the gift, and to minister to Paul while he's in prison suffering for the work of Christ. Okay? That's what he's doing. So this is Paul's gift, and Paul's in there, and he's looking at Epaphroditus, and Epaphroditus is so distressed over the Philippian church that he looks at him, and he's like, look, I would rather the church of Philippi benefit than me benefit. I'm going to send you back because it's going to remove your distress over the church. The church is going to be whole again once you make it back, and I'll be fine. Sir, he was more concerned about others than for himself and his own benefit. Something I could take a lesson from. And he says, more than just sending him back, receive him in the Lord with all joy. Hold men like him in high regard. Paul is teaching the church this, Epaphroditus, his work for Christ, his heart for the Lord, this is who you should hold in high regard. This is who you should honor. And I think that was the most staggering thing as I studied the text. Because I know in my life, I hold other things in high regard. I hold other people in high regard. I have a different metric system of whether I give somebody honor or I do not. I have a different metric system of how I conduct my life to be highly regarded by other people. And I assume if I'm in that boat, you're in the boat too. And you might could benefit this. He doesn't say hold in high regard only gifted people. Only people who can speak well. Only people who can sing well. Only people who can teach well. He doesn't say hold only visible people in high regard. Who would have seen Epaphroditus in the jail cell? Paul, it wasn't his visibility. It wasn't him being up on this stage. It wasn't him being on your television set. It wasn't him being on your cell phone. It wasn't him being on a stage downtown on a Saturday night or at the biggest church on Sunday morning. That's got nothing to do with it. It boils down to being faithful and being a sacrificial servant. Very different than our world teaches us. And lastly, I love that part at the end, just as a little reminder. Paul reminds them at the end of it, the church could not have fulfilled its mission, what it wanted to do for Paul, without Epaphroditus and his sacrificial service. The world has always chased honor built on visibility, status, and recognition. Many of you will remember the book of Esther, you've read it. And you'll know there's a king. And the king has a right-hand man by the name of Haman. And Haman hates Mordecai because he's a Jew. He hates him. He wants him dead. What he doesn't know is that the king has had a dream and he wants to honor Mordecai, but he goes to Haman and he says, Haman, my right-hand man, what should the king do for the person that he seeks to honor? And so we get to the heart of Haman. Haman's like, oh, well, who would he want to honor besides me? Well, I'm going to tell him exactly how I want to be honored. He says in Esther 6, 7, and 9, then Haman said to the king, for the man whom the king desires to honor, let them bring a royal robe, which the king has worn, and the horse on which the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown has been placed. And let the robe and the horse be handed over to the one of the king's most noble princes, and let them array the man whom the king desires to honor, and let him and lead him on horseback through the city square. Proclaim him. Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor. Haman, like us if we're not careful, only desired vanity. Vanity, vanity. Recognition, fame, worldly treasures. The world will always desire the highest esteem from the world, but we must not. Two questions. Whose lead are you following in seeking to conduct yourself in high regard and who you choose to hold in high regard? The world or Paul's system here? Second question, are you desiring to become the kind of Christian that Scripture tells us is to be held in high regard? The people who most reflect Christ are often the people the world overlooks. They're not paraded in the town square, especially not today. But the good news, here's the good news. Let me encourage you. If you're purely seeking to serve Christ and everybody around you is overlooking you, the world's overlooking you, and you feel like you're not seen, here's one thing that we can hold true. There's one person that's seeing it. And it's the only person that matters. And you know who that is? God Himself. So honor faithful servants instead of only visible personalities. Check on somebody this week who constantly pours into others and encourage them. Hold them in high regard. And if you're struggling with this like I am, something that you could start praying today and pray this week is to ask God to help you love people deeply. Help you to love people like Jesus loved people. I know that I need that help. Jeff, you and the team can come up. What kind of Christian are you becoming? Paul did not point the church towards a celebrity. He pointed the church towards a suffering servant. A life worth honoring is a life that keeps serving Christ, even when it's costly. And I need you to tune back in, because this is, I like to think about motivation and what we need to be able to do what we're called to do in the Bible. Tune back in, 1 second. No one, me included, me first, I say this with confidence, no one lives like this unless Christ becomes more valuable. And when I say Christ, I'm talking about your calling, your pursuit to glorify Him, until that becomes more valuable than comfort, convenience, or as we talked about several weeks ago, life itself. It's the only way. We have to be motivated by a love for Jesus Christ if we're ever going to live like this. Without that and the Holy Spirit, I just don't think it's going to happen. For the non-believers, if you came in here today and you've never professed Christ, you don't have a relationship with Him, I just want to let you know today that Christ was the ultimate suffering servant. That He gave His life for you on the cross, selflessly, so that you could have eternal life. But you have to, the Bible tells us, you have to believe in His work. You have to call out for His work that He has done for you and ask Him for forgiveness to have the gift of eternal life, to have salvation. And if today, if you've never done that, man, I compel you, I beg you to do that, to call upon Christ, to believe in Him today, to have that, have the Holy Spirit, so that we can fulfill what we talked about today and live a life that is high in high regard. If you would, please stand. If you have a need this morning, I'll be down front. We're going to sing one song of worship. The altar's open. I just ask you to move as the Holy Spirit leads you.